I know there is a German equivalent. I just can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue, basically.
It's probably just one very long word,
Yeah,
given.
Hello and welcome to the 50th episode of the Super Bayern podcast. That's right, folks, we're halfway to 100. Bayern Munich got back to winning ways this week, first struggling past Olympiakos in a 3-2 win on Tuesday, before overcoming Union Berlin 2-1 at the Allianz Arena yesterday. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about those games with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And of course, Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Now, I know I messed up the pronunciation in the introduction, but we'll go ahead and start with a game that took place yesterday. Bayern won 2-1 against Union Berlin at the Allianz Arena. Not the most beautiful of wins, I guess, but hey, at this point, a win is a win. But there are still some issues that remain. And I want to start by taking a look at Niko Kovac's starting 11. So he deployed a back line of Joshua Kimmich, Benjamin Pavard, Jerome Boateng, and then Alphonso Davies at left back. Thiago took a role in central defensive midfield. In front of him was Felipe Coutinho and Thomas Muller, flanked by Ivan Perisic and Kingsley Coman, and of course, Robert Lewandowski led the line. That's a lineup we haven't really seen at all this year until this past weekend. Sebastian, what are your initial thoughts on how that played out, and do you think that this is something Kovac might should continue with in the future, or do you think it's kind of a one-off thing?
Well, I suppose you would imagine that I have an opinion on Thiago first. I guess, that's kind of a topic that's usually connected to me, I guess, on this podcast. I think it worked all right, what we saw against Union Berlin there. I think Davies definitely was brilliant. I think Davies did a very good job on his position on the left side. I really enjoyed that, and I think we can hope to see more of him. But I think a lot of the other things we were trying were either inconclusive or not so great. Koeman and Perisic as wingers didn't work at all, I felt. I think they were maybe the worst Bayern players on the pitch. I was not really happy with them, and I guess I'm kind of disappointed with Perisic that this didn't work any better, because I think we were all of the opinion that getting Perisic in there is going to help our game. So I was kind of disappointed with that. Then, of course, as I already mentioned, there's the Thiago thing. I guess that was quite good, what I saw from him. But, of course, we can't think too much of this. We can't say, all right, this worked, so he's going to be our lone number six going forward. Obviously not. He did as well as he could pretty much in this game, but of course this position is about taking the right decisions, not making terrible mistakes under pressure, and then also kind of being creative. The being creative part was very good, but yeah, we just didn't get any new information, so to speak, as to how well this might work against top opposition. So overall, I think, some good, some bad.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of hard to tell, or it's hard to take away too much of Thiago's game simply because of the opposition that we did play. I will say it's nice that we didn't see him give the ball away that led to, you know, a clear and easy goal. So he's making steps in the right direction. But like you said, I don't know if this is something I'd want to see against a top team. I want to talk about something that you brought up, and that's that our wingers on Saturday were just, I mean, really, really poor. Like you said, Ivan Perisic got a start, you know, his first in a while, and really didn't make the most of his opportunities. And Kingsley Coman just seems to keep getting worse and worse when it comes to his final ball and his decision-making. You know, I said the other day during the game, a list of players that I'd rather see starting on the wing in our next match other than Kingsley Coman, and basically listed everybody, and I still really feel that way. I still think that holds true. I think Coman needs some time on the bench, maybe even more so than Thiago did, or maybe even still does. And I'm going to tie in another player who had a good game on Saturday, and that's Alphonso Davies. I think now's as good of a time as any that we'll have to test him out as a left winger, play him on the opposite side of Serge Gnabry. And I think that his game on Saturday just kind of further reinforced that idea in my head that, you know, maybe Coman should move out and just skip Perisic, put the young guy Alphonso Davies in there, and let's see what he can do. So, Garrett, do you have any thoughts on that? Maybe how we could switch the wings around, Alphonso Davies' performance, Kingsley Coman's performance, anything related to that?
Yeah, Kingsley Coman's been really disappointing just because I don't know. I just felt like he was starting to kind of turn the corner earlier in the year. And then I don't know when it happened that all of a sudden he kind of took a downturn and started making some of the mistakes that we were used to seeing. And he just can't get over that hurdle to take that next step as a player. So I'm with you that I'd at this point rather see them play Alphonso Davies on the left with Serge Gnabry on the right, because at this point, all that Kingsley Coman's offering is speed, and Alphonso Davies is just as fast. And so if you're going to be, you know, pulling your hair out because of his final ball or the decision-making in the final third, it might as well be from a player that you're like, well, he's not used to starting. He's, you know, you have different excuses for him that you're a little bit, more likely to just kind of brush off for the first, you know, so many games anyway. So I kind of agree with you. I'd like to see Alphonso Davies play, but I don't think that's going to be a solution for when we play bigger teams, better teams. I think that what this whole match was a little bit hard to gauge, a little bit hard to even know what to focus on, simply because you had Alphonso Davies, who's not a natural left back, playing left back, and then you had two defenders on the bench. You had David Alaba and you had Lars Lucas Mai, and so it's really hard to judge, like, what, you know, he's just trying to put pieces together, trying to throw something at the wall, see what sticks. And so it's just hard to evaluate. That being said, I kind of wonder if they try Coutinho on the wing, try Muller on the wing with Coutinho in the middle, you know, go back to that 4-2-3-1 look and just try something. Cause I don't know. I don't know how bad Javi Martinez's injury was. I know it was bad enough that they wanted him to sit out this match against Union. But yeah, it's just, you look at the options that are available to Niko Kovac and you're not totally sure where you'd go at this point. You know, I play around with the lineup and try to see, okay, who would I put in the formation? And it's slim pickings.
Yeah, absolutely. One winger at least who's not doing so poorly is Serge Gnabry. When he came into the game Saturday, it was like basically an entirely different Bayern Munich. Within 5 minutes, he had created three different shots on goal, two of which really should have been a goal if not for some outstanding work from the goalkeeper. Tim, do you think that Gnabry's kind of reached that level, or is at least nearing that level of guys like Joshua Kimmich and Robert Lewandowski at Bayern Munich, where it's like, okay, he's one of those players that we really can't replace?
Yeah, the match yesterday was a fantastic example of what he can bring to a team and to a game. I think if you can go back to last season and you can see that, like what the absence of players like Thomas Müller and Joshua Kimmich bring to an attack, and also to a defensive standpoint against Liverpool. Without them on the pitch, it's absent. There's nothing. There's very few positives to take away from like chance creation or chance finishing for a start. Having someone like him on the just on in the squad on the bench, on the pitch, wherever he is, as long as he's part of the team, I think everything, I was going to say like a really broad statement, as long as he's there, everything's going to be fine. That's not how it works, but it's slightly more reassuring to see that having gone from like a winger partnership of Ribéry and Robin, kind of half assuming whoever we get, they're not going to be good enough. Okay, in their final years, they weren't as effective. I'd say that Ribéry was still fairly effective. But to know that you then have somebody that's come in for like not that much money, I think it was like 8 million euros, like, yeah, 13 million, like a low amount of money. And to see that he is capable of, you know, putting up similar numbers. One of my favorite films is Moneyball, where they talk about essentially like recreating star players that they've lost in the aggregate. So they don't need somebody that's gonna be like really flashy and do all of this like all of this extra stuff that comes with that premium. They just need somebody that can make up those numbers. Because I think like Robin and Ribéry, while they were hugely influential and impactful on, I guess like the previous generation of Bayern Munich as we know it, their goal input and support was never really astronomical. I think like the highest was it Robin got like 22 goals in his first season, but it was always. It's kind of like it couldn't only have been him to do that. If there was another player, it wouldn't have been totally surprising. So seeing that Serge Gnabry can come in and reach double figures in his first season, which I'm fairly certain he did. I'll need to double check that. If he didn't, then he certainly came close.
No, he did.
It's excellent. My point stands. It's so reassuring to see that for all of the criticism that the board gets, like, oh, we're not spending enough money. It just shows that you don't really have to spend money. You just have to spend money more intelligently. I think there is, of course, a limit. Like I would really have preferred to go into this season with, you know, Leroy Sané on the other wing instead of Kingsley Coman. But that's the sort of thing that takes a lot of money. Like what was it 120 million was the final number that Mr. True or Not True was saying. But there's like this element of reassurance that comes with Gnabry on the pitch and also in the squad as a whole, and it is very similar to the sort of reassurance that Kimmich brings.
Don't get me started with Leroy Sané, Tim. We can't talk about that until the off season, but
yeah, it's coming up though. We'll all start saying any minute now we'll get more news.
Absolutely, and I agreed. I think that having him on the left wing would be fantastic, but we didn't get Leroy Sané in the summer. We did get Felipe Coutinho and Sebastian. We finally got to see him play alongside Thomas Müller this week for an extended period of time, especially yesterday when they both played in more or less central positions. How did you think that looked on the pitch? Do you think that those two could work together? And also, do you think that that's a strong enough midfield for them to work together and both play centrally?
I'm not quite sure about that yet. I think we would have to see more of that to really decide if this can work as a midfield, because that's obviously going to mean that Müller and Coutinho will have to pick up a lot of defensive responsibilities, and of course also the wingers. And yeah, I just don't know how well that would work against a stronger team, but I'm totally open to try that. I think I would really love to see that. I guess we haven't even seen what we can do with those two in the middle offensively, because yeah, our wingers just didn't work in that game. They just didn't create many chances. I guess we only, of course, saw some of the possibilities when Gnabry came on. I think that was, of course, largely to Serge Gnabry, but also to Gnabry working so well with those two in the middle who will change positions and are creative all of the time. I think Müller and Coutinho are possibly could be a very great combination there, because Müller, he's just looking for those open spaces, and Coutinho is one of those players who can
change the pace and can play great balls in his direction. So I think that might be really brilliant for us. But yeah, I would really like to see what they can do in the middle with two wingers who are actually having a good day. So that might be something spectacular. I also think I wanted to mention, I don't know, maybe Serge Gnabry is not as good as Arjen Robben yet, but I guess a Serge Gnabry who might play 90% of games might still be worth more than an Arjen Robben who plays like 50% of all games. So I think we also need to keep that in mind. We won the Champions League and we won a lot of trophies where we could never rely on Ribéry and Robben both being there all of the time. So that kind of never happened. So this would have been an even way more successful team if we would have had those two all of the time. So that's not what we should be looking for, I guess, because that's maybe just not something you can get. I guess that's what I also wanted to mention there.
Right. And it is always, of course, a dangerous game comparing anyone to Franck Ribéry and Arjen Robben. And, you know, we probably won't ever see another wing duo like that. But your point does stand that I'd rather have Serge Gnabry for, you know, 9 out of 10 matches than Arjen Robben for 5 out of 10. We've talked about Thomas Müller a little bit. He's finally got himself back into the starting 11, got the game time that, we would have all said he deserved anyway, but that he wasn't getting previously under Niko Kovac. Tim, on both Saturday and then I guess we can kind of look back to Tuesday as well, do you think he's done enough to really show that he does deserve that spot in the starting lineup?
Yeah, 100%. There are a lot of really great times. Sorry, that sounds like such a typical cliched footballer answer. Oh yeah, 100%. We tried our hardest. It was good to get the result. But yeah, legitimately, I think what Thomas Müller was bringing to both this game and to the game in midweek, it was great. It's so good to see that he, you know, that I think it was Salihamidžić said that any rumours of him going weren't true. Like, there's no discussion about it. So that's, well, to quote somebody else, not true. So that's reassuring. And seeing him like run and work to get the ball back. There was a couple of moments in particular. I think there was an offside goal actually, right towards the end, where like Müller just worked. Like, he had the ball, he went on a good run, he lost it, and then instantly won it back. And it is that sort of, you know, not necessarily defensive stability, but a sense of responsibility that comes with Thomas Müller on the pitch. So for the discussion of you can't have Thomas Müller and Coutinho on the same on the pitch at the same time because it's too attacking, I don't think that's true. I think Müller plays with the energy of a box-to-box midfielder, but just ever so slightly further up the pitch. And, you know, this is a guy that loves the team. Like, he absolutely loves the club. So he's going to put in the work. It's great, and I want to see more of him, really, because it's just so good to see him, just to see him having fun more than anything else.
Yeah, agreed completely. I think Thomas Müller, and, you know, we've always said it, he's Thomas Müller. What you're going to get from him on the pitch. He showed that again this past week, and you brought up the perfect example. You know, he lost the ball, won it back, dribbled past two defenders, which, you know, that's Thomas Müller. He doesn't really do that often, and created a goal that was unfortunately called back for offside. Garrett, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up your man, Robert Lewandowski, who yesterday became the first player in Bundesliga history to score in the first 9 games of a season. He's still in incredible form. He's still scoring in every single game in which he plays, and he's well on track to overtake Gerd Müller's record of scoring 40 goals in a Bundesliga season. So my question to you, Garrett, is right now, do you think Robert Lewandowski will pass that achievement, will set the new record for Bundesliga goals in a season?
I don't think so. He's playing out of his melon right now. And so, like, it's really hard to think this pace is going to continue. And granted, he doesn't need to keep this exact pace to, you know, to break the record necessarily, but I just you just figure that there's got to be a slump coming at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, in the mid 30s, like he makes a real close run at it. But 40 goals in a season is that's pretty tough to do. And I just I worry with the load of offensive responsibility that Bayern put on Robert Lewandowski that he might wear down at some point, and that slump will come. But that being said, I don't know that any of us would say that given his current form and how long this form has gone on, that we would be surprised necessarily if he did get to 40 goals, because you're almost better off betting that he's not going to score two goals than you are saying, oh, he's not going to score at all. He's getting a goal a game, and he's the best nine in the world. I don't know who else can, you know, come close to that title. I know that people tried to put up Luis Suarez in the past, and people.
Well, Harry Kane scored today.
Harry
so.
Kane, yeah, I was just gonna say him.
No, I don't believe that.
But there's he's so good, and to be doing this at the age of 31 is another testament to the type of work that he puts in to keep his body in good shape. The fact that he hasn't missed very many games and hasn't really missed very many minutes, he does the work to make sure that he can be at the top of his game. And I honestly, I feel like you have to give some credit to Niko Kovac for the form that Lewandowski's in, because granted, he's been one of the top strikers in the world, for a good part of his career, but to do this, now just seems like Kovac has to have some hand in it. It's not all just Lewandowski, you know, pulling it out of his hat, you know, pulling the rabbit out of the hat. There's a strategy there that he's benefiting from.
First of all, Garrett, I expected you to have more faith, so I'm a little bit disappointed in you there.
I had a late night. The kids were up several times. You know, my optimism is low.
Man, but you bring up a really, really good point about Robert Lewandowski and Niko Kovac and the relationship between the two, because if you get on any social media, the narrative right now is kind of that Robert Lewandowski is saving Niko Kovac, that he's the one keeping him in a job. Whereas if you look at Bayern's defensive struggles, and you know, Niko Kovac is saying that it's a lot of individual mistakes that are costing us goals, they like to flip that and say, no, it's because we don't have a good coach. So you can't really have both. You can't have Niko Kovac, you know, has ruined the defense, but Robert Lewandowski is doing so good because that's just him. He's doing that on his own. It's either Kovac has some say in how the defense is playing and he's also made Lewandowski this much better, or it's that, you know, Kovac has no say in both. Lewandowski is just good and our defenders are just playing bad. Anyways, that's just kind of something I had to get off my chest. It drives me crazy how people pick and choose who's to blame for what. But let's go ahead and talk about our defense, because there's no way around it. It's looking really, really bad at the moment. Last weekend, Niklas Süle left injured, probably out for the remainder of the season. And then on Tuesday against Olympiacos, Lucas Hernandez left injured and is definitely out for the rest of the year. Hopefully we can get him back come January or February. We talked a little bit last weekend about Lars Lucas Mai and how hopefully this would be his time. But Sebastian, surely he is going to be getting some minutes in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I would hope so. Since we can only buy new players in winter, I don't think there is a way around it, really. I mean, maybe you are trying to go three at the back with Kimmich and Alaba, and no, that's just no way around it. It's not going to happen, of course. I mean, right now we have two actual center backs with Bundesliga experience, and we have Javi Martinez, and then we have Lars Lucas May. And I think we really need to make the best out of that. And I think, yeah, we should just try it now. I mean, what is the alternative here? You can just stick with Pavard and Boateng all of the time and just think, okay, this is going to be fine somehow. But no, I would just, you just need to try it now. And I guess it would not have been the worst thing in the world if we had already given him some minutes. Yeah, that's just, yeah, there's really just no way around it. And I think we really have a hard look at ourselves and think, shouldn't we have bought more defenders in summer? Because it's really not like we haven't been talking about that, right? I mean, now it's the center backs. Okay, I can see how we weren't especially focusing on center backs when we talked about depth there. But of course, when your backup fullbacks are also kind of either your starting or your backup center backs, of course that means they're going to play more and there's a higher risk of them getting injured. So, yeah, I really hope we will learn a lesson or two from this and just focus more on depth and make sure that we have one or two players more on defense, for example, so that this kind of thing just doesn't happen anymore, because it's really frustrating. We were talking about it. We have been talking about it for since this podcast exists. I think that it would be great if we would sign some more players there, and kind of the opposite happened. And it's just pretty frustrating from my perspective here. And I really hope we do something about that in winter. Maybe we get someone. I mean, probably several players will be back, or at least close to being back by then. But yeah, even Javi Martinez is injured right now, or wasn't able to play last game. Who's to say we are not going to lose one more center back with our luck right now? You really don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I could honestly see Jerome Boateng picking up an injury in training, and you know, just like that, you basically have no option but to put my at center back. And you talked about, I guess the alternative is we buy someone in the winter. But I think that we could all surely agree that it's better to at least give Mai his chance and see if he's, you know, first team material before we go to the transfer market come winter. And then
Kovac mentioned his name in the press conference. Like, that's kind of indicative enough that he's at least being considered as an option.
And it'd be great to see him Tuesday when we play Bochum in the DFB Pokal. I mean, I know that is really, really soon, and he just came back from an injury of his own, but maybe some minutes in the second half or something, or, you know, if they want to start him, then I'm all for that as well. But we do need to talk about Lucas Hernandez, because I know it's really, really early to have this conversation, but he's already missed as many games for Bayern as he has played, probably more, and he's no doubt a really good player. But at what point do we start to be concerned that Bayern spent a lot of money on a player who has gone through some very serious injuries, was seriously injured when we bought him, and doesn't seem to be able to keep his fitness? So when can we start being concerned? And Garrett, I'll turn this one to you.
I think you're going to be concerned right away. I mean, you bought him knowing that he had an injury, and then I don't think that they rushed him back, but then, you know, he's picked up several injuries along the way that have missed, you know, significant playing time. And I guess the thing that I kind of wonder is, you know, you look back over the course of the year, and obviously hindsight is 20/20, but I think that this was kind of a problem that we kind of looked ahead to and said this could definitely happen. You know, when they sold Mats Hummels, whatever circumstances were around that, when they decided, you know, to not pursue Matthias De Ligt in the summer, when they, you know, now you have, you know, you're basically your best center back that doesn't get, you know, doesn't play a whole lot because of injuries. He's also your backup left back typically, And now you're stuck in a situation where you are crossing your fingers and just hoping that either A, he doesn't get hurt, which, you know, has happened. And then now you're thinking, well, maybe Jerome Boateng, who we publicly said should leave the club at the end of last season, you know, maybe we should, you know, we're going to rely on him and Benjamin Pavard, who we've been playing at right back all season. It just seems like that to spend that kind of money on a player like Lucas Hernandez, who, you know, for all of the good that we've seen out of him, I think he's been a good signing in terms of his fit in the team and what he's brought to the team. But like you said, he's played less games than he's missed for Bayern, and Bayern didn't do anything to back him up. So kind of like to touch on the previous question about, you know, we have to see Lars Lucas Meyer. We have to see. We might be to the point where we're going to be seeing Chris Richards play Bundesliga minutes, and like that's the kind of depth that Bayern have here. Or we're going to have to like say, oh hey, Leon Goretzka, you want to try center back? Like this is not a situation where it's you can just kind of hem and haw and think, oh well, we'll get to the winter break and we'll be fine. Like, I don't know how you can't buy someone in the winter. I don't know how you can't try to get Lars Lucas Meyer significant playing time to where he's at least, you know, a, you know, replacement level center back in the Bundesliga. This is not an easy situation for Bayern to deal with. And I don't see a whole lot of other solutions than giving these young guys with no experience the experience that they need. And I think you're right. I think he has to start. For me, he has to start against Bochum, because when else are you going to get him that time?
Imagine being Jerome Boateng right now. Like you brought it up, Garrett. The club basically told him in the summer publicly, yeah, you need to leave. You're done here. It's time to go. And now we're in a situation where we can't afford for him to miss a single game. I think it says a lot for him to stick it out and fight through it. But it's good for the club as well that he didn't listen to what Uli Hoeneß was suggesting, that he should leave and ultimately decided to stay, because without him, we'd be in a really, really tough spot right now.
Yeah, definitely major credit to him.
Especially considering his partner was like, oh, I'm not going to get any playing time. All right, I'm going to go. Bye.
Right.
Like, I think it's fantastic that, like, there's got to be a tremendous sense of like vindication for Boateng to say, yeah, I was right to stay. Because, you know, hypothetically, if it's not looking likely, but there's every possibility that he could, you know, have that sort of, you know, earth-shattering performance in the second half of the season like Hummels did, because he was kind of very hot and cold in the first half of last season and then went on to become like absolutely stellar. So that, like, it's entirely possible that Jerome Boateng could kind of get himself to the top again. It's not looking likely, but he's in a position where it could happen. So he's probably laughing at the fact that, well, he wouldn't be. That would be really bad and unprofessional. But he's probably grateful for the fact that he still has that opportunity.
Well, I think that too. I mean, when we talk about like Thomas Muller's willingness to come off the bench, but not necessarily being happy about it, I think that, you know, Jerome Boateng, to a different degree, but you can definitely look at him and say he kind of has done a similar thing. And you know, and I thought he played pretty well against Union. I don't think he did anything spectacular, but I thought he felt to me like if anybody was going to make a mistake in the back line, I didn't expect it to come from him, just the way he was playing. So, I mean, I totally agree, Tim. I think that he has a real chance to kind of have a sort of resurrection season here with, you know, guys missing. And, you know, I think for everybody involved, we hope that that's the case.
I mean, to be fair, there was a pretty serious mistake made at the back line on Saturday, and it wasn't Boateng, it was Pavard. So he's really got a lot a lot going for him right now. But the question still stands, Sebastian. Defense has been our biggest issue over recent weeks, with so many guys missing. How does Kovac address this and get the defensive issues fixed?
Yeah, that's a very good question, of course. I think it's quite good at least to see that we have another probably capable fullback in Davies. I think that was one of his good decisions there. And yeah, ideally, of course, we can have a similar situation with Lars Lucas Mai. Give him minutes and he might turn out to be a guy we can rely on at times. But yeah, of course, we still need to fix other things there. I guess we cannot really blame it on Kovac that there have been so many changes on defense, because I think when you really see there is a problem on defense and you want to try to fix that, and then one player after the other gets injured, that's definitely not going to help, of course, because you're working with those players, trying to fix how they play together and so on, and then one gets injured and you can do that whole thing all over again, basically. So that's obviously going to be a problem there, especially with the Bayern squad set up the way it is, where you have very different players potentially playing the same position. I think that plays a major role there. You can train and you can practice and so on, but if one day it's going to be Kimmich and the other day it's going to be Pavard, or if one day it's going to be Hernandez and the other day it's going to be Boateng, or even defensive midfield, if one day it's going to be Thiago and the other day it's going to be Javi Martinez, yeah, you need to work on the system, but the system just keeps changing a lot of the time. And I don't think that's going to be an easy job then. I think we need to, stick to one thing and, try to improve on that. I guess that might be helpful. As we have seen, right, the defensive midfield has changed again within this week even. So, stick with what works and, try to avoid any further injuries, I guess. That is what we definitely should try, at least.
I think this is actually going to be one of the bigger. This is actually going to be one of the bigger moments in the evaluation of Niko Kovac. Is how do you take a situation where the personnel is not, where you want it to be, and still work a defensive plan around the guys you have to really maximize what you have to be successful. I think this is actually going to be a really good test for Niko Kovac tactically. People like to point out his offensive tactics or lack thereof, and really I think here's where he can really shine, is taking the players that they have and working with it.
Well, something like that Sebastian said, is these injuries, you can almost twist it and it could kind of work in favor. It's because Kovac has to rotate the squad and get everybody in, but in defense, his selection is basically made for him. So he's going to have that, at least he's going to have that consistency of players in the back line that he doesn't have the option to rotate too heavily, because he only has so many players to choose from. So it could end up, in a weird way, offering a little bit more defensive stability, and that would definitely be something that would be unique to see. Tim, looking at the two upcoming games for the week, first in the DFB Pokal against Bochum, and then on Saturday in the league against Eintracht Frankfurt, given the kind of pressures on Niko Kovac and the situation that Bayern is in at this point in the season, which game do you see as more important, and which game do you think Niko Kovac is approaching as, more of a must-win type of game?
I think at this stage, the cup game, because it is still very early, like it's what, a third of the way into the league. There's the whole thing of like, oh, the league is lost in the first like five or six games or whatever. I mean, that's not even remotely true. Like, there's still plenty of time in the league to lose, to draw, to win, whatever. I really only want victories in the league, but obviously if you lose in the league, you then get another go a week later, and other teams win, lose, and drop points. I think it's by virtue of the way that, like the structure of league play. I don't necessarily want to say that it's less important because I think they're both must-win games. Like Kovac is in a situation where he has to win every single game without fail and has to look convincing doing it. But at the moment, if he really wants to show his ability, he needs to become the first manager at Bayern since, I think, Felix Magath to do the double. So the league and cup. Obviously, Champions League would be a huge bonus. But thinking realistically, I would like to see him be the first manager since Felix Magath over 10 years ago, goodness me, to win the league and the cup back to back. So he needs to think of Bochum as a final. I think that's kind of what, I think that was like Guardiola's belief in every single cup game is we have a final to play. Like it's not like a knockout stage. It is the final. If you lose it, it's over. So he needs to go into the Bochum game with a strong plan. I'd be really disappointed if we win by one goal again, especially considering how well we did in the final against Leipzig last season, because up to that point, we were getting through by one goal because we were making really silly mistakes. I'm thinking of the Berlin game, which was... It was great, and then it was the Mats Hummels back pass to Neuer, and it fell apart. So that is the sort of thing that needs to be completely ironed out. And then he can look forward after the Bochum game to his old club. And that's another game that he needs to look at and think, we can do this. Last season they had a really, really great attack, and a defence that wasn't really quite up for it. They had a couple of players like Makoto Hasebe, and did they have Mascarell last season? No, they didn't. But they've got good players, but it's not as good as last season. So if he can like replicate the last game of last season against Frankfurt again, that'd be perfect. But between the two, I think you have to think of the first game as the most important.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you there as well. I don't think that losing the Bundesliga match this weekend would equal losing the league. I think that we're way too early for that to be the case. Whereas going out in the Pokal this early would be dreadful. There's no way around that. One final question that I want to kind of ask everyone. With the two games coming up this weekend, we've talked about a lot of different players who we want to see playing. If you had to choose one player that you want to see get a lot of minutes over the next two games, get a lot of playing time, who would that be? And we'll start with you, Sebastian.
That really is a tough one because there would be several names that you could mention there. One, I guess, is Thomas Müller. Because I think he has brought something to our game that only he typically can bring to our game. And I really want to see more of him. I think the last two matches, even if it wasn't extra flashy again, have shown that we need him a lot of the time. I guess, this is basically my number one, I guess. Just mention two more. I think that would be Alfonso Davies. I think he has earned even more minutes. He can be a great player even now and for the very near future. And of course, lots of years going forward. So I really think he needs more minutes. We need to keep that momentum going. I think trying him on the wing, giving him more time as a fullback, both would be great. And yeah, Lucas Mai needs minutes. I'm pretty sure that we should see him, as we already talked about. And yeah, I think it's about time.
You stole my main one, and Thomas Müller was probably what I was going to say, but I'll actually go a different direction. I'll make your number two my number one, and that's Alfonso Davies. And that's mostly just because I've got really annoyed with Kingsley Coman at this point in the season, of just watching the same thing over and over, where he beats his defender so easily and just has to make the final pass, make the final shot, and it goes so terribly wrong. So I think Alfonso Davies showed on Saturday that he should get more minutes. So I'll go with him. That's the one player I want to see get a lot of game time over the next two games. So, Garrett, Tim, either of y'all have someone to add?
Leon Goretzka.
That's what I thought.
I've been wanting to see him all season, and injuries have stolen him from me. And so I really want to get him back in because I really like him as a player, and I'm not exactly sure how he's going to fit in given everything that's gone on, you know, with Bayern, with injuries and all that. But I really would like to see him against Bochum. I think that, you know, even when he came on for a hot minute on, you know, against Union, was it Union or is it Olympiacos he came on?
I think he came on in both, but he did come on for sure Saturday.
But in both cases, I mean, like he's putting shots on goal. He's getting forward. He's making things happen to some degree. And so I just really like him as a player. I really would like to see him get extended minutes against Bochum.
And if I'm not mistaken, that is where he came from. I think that's yep. where he, yeah. Yep. So that would be pretty fitting. Tim, do you have anyone that you would like to suggest?
I want to see more Rafinha. Ha. Is that too much to ask?
Nah.
That may be a little difficult.
Yeah, that dream is over. I really, really liked how Deep Alphonso cuts. Davies. Yeah, that one's for the diehard fans we got. I was so impressed with how Alphonso Davies played yesterday. He's not a left back, but was just great. He did such a good job mm-hmm. without wishing to sound at all patronising. He did way better than I thought he was going to, because I think that there's kind of this. Well, I think Kimmich has been criticised for it before, but if you are not a fullback, and especially if you are a winger, there is that irrepressible desire to just go forward because it's this innate instinct to attack, and you get that with guys like Hector Bellerin when he was starting, Trent Alexander-Arnold when he plays always, he's very, very far forward. But obviously, like in that situation, you can kind of afford to because Liverpool are going to hold the ball. But I've looked and his average position was like in the Bayern half. He stuck to his position. He was really great at winning tackles back. His passing was great. There's something about him just as a person that I'm so desperate to see him do well because he comes across as the most humble and lovely guy imaginable. And yet, weirdly, when he's on the pitch, he just turns into a professional. I say weirdly. I don't know what I should expect. But it's quite surprising to see him be, you know, such a great and affable character online, and then also back it up as a really, really talented footballer. So I think I'll have to agree with everybody that said that. I want to see more of him. I don't care if it's at left back. I don't care if it's as a forward. I want to see him on the pitch because the more that he plays, the better he's going to become.
Definitely. So someone send this to Niko Kovac. Tell him this is what the fans want. We want to see Alphonso Davies with some time on the pitch. But that's going to wrap up this episode. If you are a fan of the pod or if you've enjoyed listening today, do us a big favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate it. It would help us a whole lot. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod to keep up to date with us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can also email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and all the major podcast catchers. Before we sign off, I want to give a big thanks to everyone because it's been over a year, I guess, of SuperBayernPodcast. So we've greatly enjoyed doing it, and we want to give a big thank you to everyone who has listened along the way, and we look forward to more and more years to come. So, as always, thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.